Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host Nate and appreciate everyone listening to this discussion of the Bills holding off the Cincinnati Bengals 21-17 for the home opener at New Era Field, and what a game it was. I'm joined by my co-hosts John and Mike. Fellas, how are you feeling after that? Did you guys suffer or come close to suffering any heart attacks like I did?
Dude, I'm feeling amazing. They're 3-0, one of three undefeated teams in the AFC. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Nate, I could not be more excited. It didn't even feel like the same old Bills. They want to be like, same old Bills? No, but it didn't even feel at any point in the game like they were going to lose. It felt great. I don't know if everybody felt that way. I'm looking at John. John, I think, is the first gray hair I've ever seen on your head. Maybe it took a few years off your life. I don't know if you're as optimistic as I am, but I'm excited.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think that the Bills were definitely looking. Momentum had shifted at one point when the Bengals scored 17 unanswered points. So I wasn't optimistic the whole time, but, you know, this is a different team. This is a team that actually circles the wagons, you know, when it comes down to it, and finishes games. And there's definitely a quote-unquote clutch gene for Josh Allen. He may make some...
He's the king of the fourth.
He is. He's king of the final drive. Dude, this is huge. Like, him having these game-winning drives.
He has 5 game-winning drives in his last 11 starts.
Wow. Stat of the game. See, I don't even need to do stats of the game.
That's incredible.
That's a great stat.
Plays for the Bills.
John, were you always feeling that good during the game? Were you feeling like Mike was, or was it a tough game to watch at some points?
I felt pretty good through most of the game. Obviously, like you said, the momentum had shifted and the Bills had a rally and come back. But to Mike's point, like, it's not like the same old Bills. Like, there's on third downs, like, you're not like, okay, they're going to punt. Like, you think they actually can make these third down plays now, and they can.
Yeah, Josh Allen has like the anti-Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember how Fitzpatrick used to always throw that pick on the final drive when they could have won it or gotten ahead to win the game? He just finds it. I guess what I'll say is each one of these three games that the Bills have won to go 3-0, they've had a struggle of this sort in each and every game. I mean, last week the Bills won by 14 points, but there was definitely a point where they were within 7. And had a play gone a different way, they could have easily tied the Giants. And, you know, who knows what would have happened then. But each week it seems like they're against the ropes. And each week they either dig themselves out of a hole or maintain the lead when they need to. And these are three teams that, for the most part, in my opinion, are inferior, but this game especially, I could see going into it as a trap game because you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who aren't a completely terrible team, even though they're 0-2, but their backs are against the wall. This is a team that's used to going to the playoffs almost every season. So they came in with, I think, a lot more firepower than a normal team would coming into New Era Field, and I was worried about it. And when they started to show signs of life, and Andy Dalton forgot he was Andy Dalton and started, you know, hitting all those passes and really marching down the field. The Bills defense, you know, we always say this, the Bills defense can only hold off a team for so long before they get a little bit of gassed. And they did towards the end of that third quarter into the fourth quarter. And, you know, finally the Bills made a stand and, you know, Trey White ended the game on that great interception pass, you know, just to seal it. And yeah, there's each of these three games, they've beat inferior teams, but, you know, it hasn't been convincingly to the point where you're like, okay, these guys are going to be 11-5, 12-4. I mean, they don't win pretty games, but you know, they're pulling away. They're winning. And I will say, we're going to go into this a little bit later into the Patriots game. If you're going to beat the Patriots and you have a 14-0 lead on them, you cannot do what they did today and expect to win, because you cannot take your foot off the throat of the Patriots, because you may not be a better team than them, and they will take advantage of your submissiveness or the ability to, you know, let your foot off the gas.
Don't you think we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit? Like, of course we didn't beat the Patriots, but you can only play who's on the schedule, right? Like, I don't think anybody is confusing the Bills with the most elite teams yet in the NFL, because to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, right? Like, the opponents the Bills have played are 1-8, right?
Right.
Should be probably 0-9 with the Giants pulled that one out today. But they've done all they can, and I do think it just feels different. Like, when the Bengals kicked that field goal with under 5 minutes to go ahead, like, this is no problem. Like,
mm-hmm.
The Bills are going to find a way to do this. And I know we've had the record before, like, 3-0 with Fitzpatrick, 5-1 with Trent Edwards, but during those times, it was like, oh, when is the bottom going to fall out? Like, when is reality going to catch up to us? This time, it doesn't feel like that. Win or lose in New England, it feels like, in today's NFL, you need that franchise quarterback, and for the first time in a long time, it feels like we've got that locked down.
Yeah, one thing I seem to like about this team in general, besides the ability to win, it's so funny. I'm reading Twitter, Mike, as you're saying that, I'm just flashing back to like reading everyone on Twitter. And if you're not following us, you should
be practicing active listening and paying attention to me, Nate, not just thinking of a response for yourself.
No, I do both. I do. Mostly, I just think about what I'm going to say next. I don't really listen to you.
I feel like they're mutually exclusive. You can't really do both, right?
No. What?
Ruling, John?
Well, I'm sure he wasn't paying attention.
I think, to your point, Mike, about, you know, this team does feel different, and we've almost said this every week so far, is that it does. But, you know, I'm reading Twitter, and I'm guilty of this. I don't know what you guys, but, you know, when the Bills went down, I'm just scrolling through, and we follow a lot of Bills fans. So if you're not following us, please do at CTW Pod, Circling the Wagons Pod. And I'm reading all these listeners and followers and stuff like that, and they're just saying this is a very Billsy way for this game to go. And, like, I can't tell you how many times I saw, like, Billsy being used, just that sort of terminology about describing this team falling apart in this game. This is a very Billsy way for this game to go, and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just like, yeah, I feel that too. And, you know, we're conditioned as fans to feel this way. And the Nick and Nolan podcast did a really good job of breaking this down. But how long has it been since we haven't thought of a team that's been like that? I don't know, like Wade Phillips. So, like, there's reason that we have to think about that. It's just past trauma, past, you know, experiences that we've gone through as fans that we're trying to get over, and we're trying to learn new, you know. You're just like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good example of that outside of football and being a Bills fan. But, you know, if it's like Groundhog Day, right? Groundhog Day, remember that movie? Bill Murray? If every time, you know, he steps off that ledge and he steps into a puddle and things don't change, and he does that 100 times in a row, he's going to think that the next time he steps off that curb, he's going to step right into that puddle. But, you know, it took him a while probably to figure out to step over it or whatever. So that's a bad example. But you guys get it. Like, we're learning as Bills fans to not be used to that. And it'll happen. I'm sure that'll happen this year, where the Bills will have a lead and they'll probably botch it. But three games in a row, they've either had the lead or they've lost the lead or been down and either clawed their way back up or, you know, hung through it and kept the lead and won the game. So I don't know. This is definitely a different team, and it's good. It feels great. It feels great, honestly. This is, you were looking at the schedule. We looked at this when we did our record prediction at the beginning of the season, and we said 3-0 at this point, and they have it. They've held true to that. This team is strong, and they find ways to win. I will say, though, one disappointing part of today's game that, I don't know, it's kind of been a little bit of a theme through the first two games is the offensive line failing to protect Josh Allen more than I would like, because there are just moments in the game where Allen's just scrambling for his life. And I know Geno Atkins is very good. Carlos Dunlap is good. But for the most part, this defensive line for the Bengals isn't great. And last week, even, you know, the Giants defensive line is even worse. Yet they were getting through, it seemed, way more often than they should. So we're talking about Josh Allen. Josh Allen deserves a lot of credit for being able to improvise on those plays, roll out to the right. You know, there's lots of times in a normal quarterback, they would have been sacked. Like, we can literally say that. As much as, you know, Josh Allen does make some mistakes, you know, plays hero ball, there's a lot of times that he makes positive plays and just running for his life. And to me, even, like, if you're running for your life, and a positive play is even throwing it out of bounds, because just not taking the sack is huge. And he sometimes throws it out of bounds, but other times he'll find a guy wide open, you know, 20, 30 yards down the field. I mean, just thinking about that play, who was that, to John Brown? Yes, it was in the first quarter, I believe. The pass protection broke down. Josh Allen finds John Brown open on the right sideline for 27 yards. I mean, just a play of beauty. I mean, we're not used to seeing these throws on the run, and the guy's doing it consistently week in and week out. So enough credit doesn't go to Josh Allen for those kinds of plays. I know we kind of rag on him for some of the boneheaded plays he does, but, I mean, plays like that, it's just those save games, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I agree the line was inconsistent, but Allen was also holding out of the ball way too long.
Well, maybe no one was open. He had to hold on to it because no one was open, and he didn't want to run with it, which I'm happy to say he is running a lot less. Hey, speaking of running a lot less, can we get rid of that whole Allen sweep run play, like, more than just once a game? Just do it once a game, right? Like, why do we have to do it? We did it, like, 5 or 6 times today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the play, but especially today, he was getting beat up pretty good already. Like, why risk even more chances of injury there?
Gore was doing a great job running the ball. I don't know why you would take the ball out of his hands in that case to, you know, put your, I don't know. I could see it on, like, when they did it last week against the Giants and they scored a touchdown off of it. Like, I'm cool with that. That's fine. They did it the week before with the Jets to get a key first down. I'm okay with that. But, you know, doing it in multiple times, first down or wherever, if it's not a critical area, I'm not a big fan of it. And the Bills are very good at pulling out their guards and their offensive linemen and running on the move. But,
they tried to get, even the announcers said it today, they try to get too cute. Like, they pitched it over to, flipped it over to McKenzie on that third and short play where they could have just given it to Gore.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they were overthinking it a little bit, right?
Yep.
In general, it seemed like they were passing a little bit too much when they had the lead. I don't know. It's a delicate balance, because if they're not passing, then you're criticizing them for not being aggressive enough. And if they are, you know, and if they are passing, it's like, well, you know, they're not, why aren't they running the ball? They're having more success running the ball. So sometimes it's like they can win, but they were doing great. This was Frank Gore's best game as a Buffalo Bill so far. In my opinion, they should have been running it more, you know, into the line. And I don't care for TJ Yeldon to run the ball almost at all. He was pretty rough today. He didn't do a ton in the passing game, and he fumbled the ball in a critical situation within the Bengals' 20-yard line that really set the Bills back. He's just really, did you guys notice? It's almost like he's standing up completely when he runs the ball. I know he's taller than most running backs, but it just seems like he's just standing up almost exactly like running the ball. Usually it's definitely not a Barry Sanders sort of, you know, moving and shifting or whatever. This is just like, I don't know. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Yeldon fan. I'm really hoping Singletary's back next week for the Patriots.
Oh, that would be huge.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
That's what she said.
All right, nice. It was, having Devin Singletary back would be huge for the Bills to be able to take advantage of that. You saw what it looks like without him, and it's not like, you know, TJ Yeldon is just a slight step down. It is a huge drop-off. So, I mean, one of the good things is about today's game, besides the Bills doing a great job paying a tribute to Pancho Villa and his family at halftime, which was a really great sentiment. It was the crowd. The crowd was huge today. It was a hot day in New Era Field. I wasn't there, but I was reading a lot of tweets from people saying it was, I mean, it was what, 85 degrees there? And they were just huge in playing a role, you know, on third down. I mean, it was incredible reading some of the media people just talking about how loud it sounded in the stadium. It was kind of cool. And yeah, like I said before, this could have been a trap game, but the Bills pulled it out. And, you know, not for nothing, this is exactly where we wanted to be, because, you know, if one thing that you always have to worry about is we did our record prediction at the beginning of the year. We said 11-5. If they don't win a game like this, then all of a sudden you're looking at one of the games that, you know, we had them as a loss. We had them losing, and they have to pick one of those games out, you know, just to get even with it or just to get to that spot. So glad that they were able to pull this one out. Now let's go to our segment of this podcast for stats of the game. Stats of the game. Okay, I always start off with a quiz for Mike and John, so let's do this one. Stat of the game. How many more rushing yards did the Bills have than the Bengals? How many more rushing yards do the Bills have than the Bengals? Don't look it up. Mike, how many more?
I like to go second.
John?
75.
75 more. Wow. Mike?
Price is Right rules?
No. If he's over, he doesn't lose. It's whoever's closest. You're still going to do the Price is Right like 1 point off, but you just got to pick the right way.
I think Allen probably makes 50 yards up on his own. I'll say 76.
The answer is 108. 108. Yes. Good guess. Good guess, Mike, on the over.
Think about Allen.
Forgot about Allen. Yeah, you can't forget about Allen. The Josh Allen, speaking of Josh Allen, finished the day 23 for 36, 243 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Frank Gore rushing the ball today, leading rusher, 14 carries for 76 yards, one touchdown. He had a 5.4 yards per carry average. And that was great because it's normally the first game was like at 1.8 or something. And then the last game was in the three area. This was a much better game for Frank Gore. Josh Allen, like you said, Mike, 9 carries, 46 yards on the ground. TJ Yeldon, 8 carries for 30 yards. And Isaiah McKenzie got a few runs. And Dawson Knox had that one run, that jet sweep. That was a creative play call. As much as you want to take away from Dable, that was a creative play call to have Dawson Knox. We're going to talk about Dawson Knox a little bit later, too. But you know, with the Bills missing Devin Singletary, they were going to run the receivers a lot more. So they had five runs by receivers and tight ends this game. Leading receiver of the game for the Bills, which you may or may not know, is Dawson Knox. 3 receptions for 67 yards and 1 touchdown. First NFL touchdown today, the first touchdown of the game. And then he also had that amazing run after the catch where he basically bulldozed like 2 Cincinnati Bengals defenders. And yeah, it was great. I believe it was a 49-yard play. It was awesome. Play of the game, possibly. We'll see. We'll get to plays of the game later. But John Brown had 4 receptions for 51 yards. Cole Beasley, 8 receptions for 48 yards. And Zay Jones for two receptions for 33 yards. TJ Yeldon, like we mentioned, had that costly fumble. On the defensive side of the ball, Tre'Davious White had an amazing game. 2 interceptions this game. 2 passes defended. Lorenzo Alexander had 2 passes defended. Another great game for Jordan Poyer. 10 tackles today. Jordan Phillips had 1 sack today. Kevin Johnson had 1 sack today. Not from the normal cast of characters, but a great game by the Bills' defense. On the Bengals' side of the ball, let's talk Andy Dalton. 20 for 36, 249 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Almost identical, literally almost identical to Josh Allen's stat line, minus the extra interception at the end of the game. Joe Mixon had a decent game running the ball. 15 carries for 61 yards. 4.1 yards per carry basis. Auden Tate, which I never heard of before this game, had 6 led Bengals receivers with 6 receptions for 88 yards on 10 targets. Tyler Boyd with 6 receptions for 67 yards on 11 targets. And Joe Mixon, 2 receptions for 34 yards and the 1 touchdown. John Ross, basically the Bills were able to limit John Ross, who had been doing amazing before this game. And he also had that fumble. John Ross had that fumble, and so did Auden Tate. So the Bills' defense really, really highlighted this game. I mean, enough can't be said about the Bills' defense, even though they kind of fell apart for a couple of drives in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, for the most part, they were just they were destroying Andy Dalton and that Bengals offense with Zach Taylor as the offensive coordinator. So kudos to the Bills defense for, you know, really coming through when it mattered and shutting the game out. Here's some other really cool stats, actually, looking at today. Dawson Knox. So we talk about Dawson Knox and him getting his first NFL touchdown. This was actually the first touchdown that Dawson Knox had scored since 2014 when he was a junior in high school. Because if you remember, he didn't catch a lot of passes at, I believe it was Ole Miss, and he didn't score a touchdown while he was there. So literally his first touchdown since high school. So that was a pretty cool stat. This was the first time ever that the Bills had an 8-0 lead, and also the first time ever the Bills have led a game 11-0. Kevin Johnson had his first career sack. I didn't realize that was his first career sack. Allen extends his streak of surpassing 200 yards passing to 8 games. That marks the longest streak by a Bill since Jim Kelly in 1992, and the NFL's second longest active streak, second to only, guys, active streak. Patrick Mahomes. Patrick. Yep, he has 20 games like that. Just a few more. I think he has a few more 300. The guy's just unbelievable. Just tore apart that Ravens defense. Tre'Davious White recorded his first career 2-interception game, and it's the first multi-interception day by a Bills cornerback since 2016 when Stephon Gilmore also picked off Andy Dalton twice. Did you guys ever think about this going into the game, that the Bills have a really tough time against the Bengals, it seems lately? The last few years or so, they just can't seem to beat them. You guys notice that?
I kind of noticed that over the last several years, going back a ways, that they have a tough time against most teams.
Yeah. Well, had A.J. Green. I mean, last time they got torched by A.J. Green, Tre'Davious White did, and that was one of his few games that he just really didn't play well. And no A.J. Green today, though, so that was huge for the Bills. The Bills have now held opponents under 400 yards in 15 consecutive games, which is the NFL's longest active streak. And the Bills' offense finished with a season high of 416 yards. So lots of good things to take away from this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And after that, we're going to our plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right. Welcome back to the Circling the Wagons podcast, our recap show. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you for joining us. I'm with my co-hosts, John and Mike. Guys, I know that today, I mentioned earlier, it was the Pancho Villa tribute today at New Era Field, which was really a cool thing that they did. And I just wanted to bring it up in general because I always thought, now I never talked with him specifically, but I heard a lot of interviews with Pancho. You know what was cool? I always appreciated about him was that he was such a big deal. I mean, he became a super fan and everyone knew who he was within the last 3 or 4 years. And that whole time, like, he was never, I don't know, there's lots of big Bills fans out there, but he never took it as, you know, he was just so thankful for the opportunity to meet all these players and to talk to them and to meet the owner and, you know, McDermott and Bean. And I always appreciated that about him. And then also about the organization for making him such a big part of it. and, you know, inviting, like, even today, his family, his children, you know, and everything like that. I don't know. The more things that happen like this, you know, they allowed, you know, Pancho Villa to announce, you know, picks, you know, the Harrison Phillips pick a couple of years ago. They called up Pancho when they let him know that Ed Oliver was the first over or their first round pick this season. And it's just one of those things where I just appreciate as a Bills fan, not only for him on his side of it, but just the Bills organization for doing something like that for a guy that, you know, unfortunately didn't have much time after some of those events. And for him to be a part of it, I don't know. It was just very cool. It's one of those things that, you know, it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. It doesn't count for wins, but I see these things and it makes me just, as a fan, I don't know. I love it. I'm such a sucker for those things. I buy into it and it makes me love. There are certain things that your team does, and that's one of those things that, I don't know about you guys, but it just makes me love the team even more and love being a fan of the team even more. All right, so let's get into our plays of the game. Our plays of the game brought to you by our TeePublic store. Check out our TeePublic store. We have a lot of cool Bills designs there for t-shirts and all that stuff. We are working currently on a cool Dawson Knox shirt after that amazing play, but I'm sure we'll get into it in a minute. So plays of the game, guys, John, what do you have as your play of the game for today's win over the Bengals?
I'd have to go with the Dawson Knox catch and run, breaking those tackles down the sideline. The Bengals had the momentum back in their favor, and I think that was a point where the Bills were getting it back into their favor and led to a game-winning drive.
That's a good one. Mike, what about you?
Me? No contest. I'm going with the same play as John. That was a 43-yard?
49.
A 49? Are you sure?
that's what they said on the telecast, so that's what I went with.
All right, well, whatever. Half of it, somebody look that up, fact check you.
Yeah.
Half of it was after the catch, right? And that's what this game is going to be remembered for, Knox trucking those guys. And then you say play of the game, but you have to look at the totality somewhat, right? Like, he had the first touchdown of his NFL career, got the Bills on the board. He had the run. It was just awesome day for him.
Yeah, I guess I don't have to ask you who your Wall of Famer is going to be later. So that's good. Good plays, man. Well, I thought you guys were going to say the Tre'Davious White interception because that just sealed the deal. That if you had to put, I think that's too easy though, right? Saying that the Tre'Davious White interception to end the game is too easy because it was huge. Tre'Davious White had a big game. I mean, there was a couple of times where, like, there was a 3rd and 9, I believe, and Tre'Davious White fell down and Tyler Boyd, you know, caught that pass to extend a drive, which was unfortunate, but
I think on that last play too, like, there were a couple of different guys involved, whereas with the Knox play, it was like such an individual effort that really put it over the top for me. Certainly the White play, huge, clinches the game, but I don't know who was the DB initially that tipped the ball?
Oh, I think it was Micah Hyde.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it doesn't happen without Micah Hyde, true. Right? Like, all the glory goes to the guy that catches it, but it seemed like more of a team play.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I can see that. I like the Dawson Knox play too. You know, one of the things that why it stood out is because we don't really have wide receivers that are that big. I mean, we don't have short wide receivers, but they just don't have you don't have the Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones type wide receivers that are like 6'5" and, you know, 250 or whatever they are, and just huge monsters. And this is something that we're severely lacking from our wide receivers. Not that we need it, not that you definitely need it, but that was huge to have any sort of player to, Charles Clay wasn't doing that when he was here. You know, Charles Clay was more of a speed finesse guy, if that. And that was really cool. It was really cool to see a tight end, a receiver for the Bills, just, yeah, pushing guys down. Reminded me a little bit of that Fred Jackson play a few years ago against the Bears. You remember that? And I forget, was it Shane Conti or something like that? I can't remember. But it was just like basically took him and just, you know, shoved his face right into the ground. So, So mine is kind of, if it's not going to be the
trade. It was 49 yards. You were right.
Thank you. One thing I'm going to say, one of my plays of the game, and this won't be one that, you know, ends up being even one that's necessarily memorable unless I mention it right now, was this. It was when the Bills were, I believe it was the third quarter, and second quarter maybe. And what happened was the pocket was collapsing around Josh Allen, as it had to certain points during the game. And he just stood in the pocket. He got hit in the knees, and he just zipped it to Zay. He couldn't step into it because there was somebody, coming, breathing right down on top of him, right? He was going to sack him. He was going to run right into his knees. And he just threw that pass, zipped it through, amazingly accurate pass. And Zay Jones, it was good enough that even Zay Jones could catch it, right? And he just stood in there, and they got the penalty. It was a huge game. It was third down. They got the first down. And, I mean, Allen's just a gamer. We've talked about that. But, man, what a play to just stand in there, take that hit, knowing that it's going to come. And I don't know how many hits Josh Allen can take in a game, but he just keeps taking them, man. It is so nice to not see him injured or whatever. And it's just, it was a great play. It was one of the plays where I'm just like, this guy has it. He has it. And it's just a matter of doing it more consistently and limiting the mistakes. And this guy could be our franchise quarterback. And I think he's definitely trending that direction.
I find it curious that when John and I mentioned the Dawson Knox play, you're like, oh, I thought you guys both would have said the Tre'Davious White play. And then you have a completely different one.
Oh, I think it was.
You're thinking pretty highly of yourself in your analysis.
Yeah, well, the Tre'Davious White play was good, but you kind of talked me off of it when you were saying, well, Micah Hyde kind of tipped it up in the air, and was part of it. There were like three bills around.
John and I are quite simple. Like, oh, whatever play they saw last must be the one they remember. That's the one they'll go with.
Yeah, you guys aren't really complex, though, but not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. You're right. So great plays from the Bills all around. There were some other great plays that, I won't get into, but those are just a couple that just stood out to me. And I also have to bring up this play just because it didn't end up going for as much as that Zay Jones pass or that Dawson Knox catch. But when Josh Allen was stepping backwards and he tripped over Frank Gore's leg, then they both fell down and Josh Allen actually ended up fumbling the ball. I mean, he picked it up, and not only did he just like, oh, just in your head, you're thinking, just protect the ball, just land on top of it. He somehow picked it up, got up, and threw a pass to like Tommy Sweeney for 5 yards and somehow turned that into possibly a fumble, possibly a turnover, possibly a sack, like all three terrible scenarios. And somehow, not only he ended up completing a pass. I wouldn't have cared if he threw it into the ground at that point, just not taking the sack or the fumble. But that was a huge play. There are some plays that Josh Allen does where I don't know if more than one or two other quarterbacks in the NFL could pull out the way he does. So I'm going to go. Let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers for today's game. Wall of Famer. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say Josh Allen just because of, you could easily put him on the Wall of Shame. And I wouldn't blame anyone if either of you decide to do that, put him on the Wall of Shame, because there was a point where, there was that play where he was trying to find someone open and he ended up throwing, the quote unquote famous hero ball. He threw it right into a DB's hands. And you're just like, Josh, what are you doing, man? You gotta stop throwing those. And he knew as soon as he did it, he was pissed at himself. He's hit himself in the helmet, but he's just got to limit those types of mistakes. But honestly, another, like you mentioned, Mike, another game-winning drive for Josh Allen. The guy's doing it. He is a gamer. There's some people that crumble under the pressure, Nathan Peterman, and there are some people that thrive under the pressure. And it looks to me as if Josh Allen may be one of those guys that thrives under it. So, John, what about you? Who do you have to put on our Wall of Fame today?
It's Dawson Knox, John. Come on. Who else?
I want to go with somebody on the defense.
Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White.
I'm thinking somebody in the secondary, whether it's Hyde or Tre'Davious White. He had the two picks. The defense kept stepping up. They held John Ross to 22 yards. Even though the pass rush was, not very consistent today. So I think I'll give it to White.
You could give it to the whole defense, John, or the whole secondary. It doesn't have to be one player.
I'll give it to secondary.
Okay, nice. Nice. Mike? Mike, I wonder who you're going
to
pick.
Just give it to a whole unit. It just seems so fluid, these rules. It's like, oh, why don't you just give it to the Bills?
I'm going to give it to the whole crowd at New Era Field. I'm going to give it to all Bills fans.
Well, man,
the player of the game is Dawson Knox. He had the touchdown in the first. He had the first down in the second. In the fourth, he owned the fourth quarter, that last drive, with a 49-yard play, half of it after the catch. Just trucking guys.
Yeah, truck stick, right? Just like I'm mad, man. He pushed that that right joystick forward. Got through him. Nice. Well, Mike, I mean, since you were so high on Dawson Knox, who are you low on today? Who are you going to put on your wall of shame?
I'd have to go Yeldon.
Yeah.
He showed bursts at times. Just the fumble was costly.
That was like
that sticks out for me.
That was like the same exact fumble that he had in the preseason when they were inside the opponent's 20, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, they're driving for a touchdown. And just, whoop, just rip right out. So that's a good one. I agree with that one a lot. Mike, John?
I guess I'd go with Allen. I understand why you would put him on your Hall of Fame. You could kind of put him in both spots, but his mistakes could have cost them the game.
Yeah, but it didn't, but I get it. That's a good one. I like I said, I could easily see one way or the other. I mean, you had good Josh Allen and you had bad Josh Allen today. Luckily, you had enough good, and the defense, you know, bailed the Bills out, so it wasn't that big of an issue. Let's go to Twitter. I ask this every week. Who is your Wall of Famer, Wall of Shamer? Let's read some of the tweets out there from some of the followers and listeners. Jason Statham writes, Jason Statham, he always gets it. He's always the first one. And mind you, Jason's in the UK, so he's really stepping up his game. His Wall of Famer is Frank Gore. He says he ran hard all day, which was true. His best game as a Bill. His Wall of Shamer is Brian Daboll. Obviously, he's talking about some of the questionable play calls in certain spots of the game, which I feel like we talk about a little bit each week, but I don't know. There's some amazing play calls then, too. It's like you got to take the good with the bad. Just like Josh Allen, you got to take, you know, the picks and the hero ball, and you know, with along with the, you know, amazing trip over yourself, pick the fumble up, throw it for a 5-yard gain, and you know, making positive out of negative. 23-0 Mega Weapon tweets in Wall of Famer Frank Gore, Wall of Shamer turnovers. Yep, turnovers were very costly today. You cannot have those kind of turnovers against the Pats and expect to win next week. Fluent in Sarcasm writes, his Wall of Famer is Dawson Knox. He's on Mike's bandwagon. His Wall of Shamer, he's like, I'm going to say Allen because of avoidable mistakes. But damn, can TJ Yeldon just hold on to the ball? Which is a good one. Adam Talmadge, man, these guys are the top four or five, man. They just keep coming in every week with some good ones. Adam Talmadge writes, his MVP is the defense. His Wall of Shame is Yeldon. Now, he gives three separate points for Yeldon, which is great. He fumbled in the red zone on first down, which is true. It would have made it a 3-score game at half, and then he couldn't fill Singletary's role well enough. So really great reasons to put T.J. Yeldon in the Hall of Wall of Shame. Scott writes in, Josh Allen is both at the same time. See, Scott, I hear you. Victor Carvalho writes, Wall of Famer, Trey White. And Wall of Shamer, the offensive line, and Josh Allen. The offensive line, now I know that they're much better. So we're kind of in this thing where this headspace where we remember last season because it just happened. And last season, the offensive line was atrocious, right? I mean, I'd say that the best player on that offensive line might be worse than the worst player on the offensive line. That's how bad it was. And Deion Dawkins, even being the only holdover on the team, and the offensive line from that unit, I would say his best football is still better than this year than his best football last year. So, but I wouldn't say that they're amazing. I know that they're making strides, and last week was a pretty good week. But I think that if there's one thing that they just have to improve on, it's pass protection. There are a lot of times, like you said, John, Josh Allen holds onto the ball too long, but there are some times where he's just inundated with pass rushers, and it just seems like he's running for his life way too often. I think that the O-line would get credited with a lot more sacks if it wasn't for Josh Allen's escapability.
True.
G-Nuts68 writes, Yeldon is absolutely the Wall of Shamer. I'm surprised he made it through preseason subs. He fumbled then too. Great, great point. Thomas Durlach writes, Wall of Famer, Dawson Knox. Wall of Shamer, Josh Allen. Josh cannot make those mistakes next week. Yep, that is absolutely true. You will not make those mistakes. Here's not Mike Rice writes in his Wall of famer is Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde did have a great game today.
Good one.
That was a good one. Joe Magley writes right after that. His Wall of Famers are Dawson Knox and Field General Hyde. I like that one. Field General Hyde. I like when they talk about the Bills and they talk about the no fly zone for the secondary. That might be a nickname I've never heard before, but I like that one. The no fly zone. So Luke Mirko writes a good point. He says, Wall of Famer, Josh, Wall of Shamer, also Josh. Some plays that shouldn't have been made, but he looked incredible. He was our whole offense at first half. Just made a few mistakes late, but that should be expected. Dude is clearly improving a ton. And let's talk about improvement for just a moment, because we have seen a lot of quarterbacks come in recent past, whether you're talking about Trent Edwards, J.P. Lausman, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman, whatever. None of these quarterbacks ever seem to improve as players, improve as passers, improve as leaders in the huddle. Like, they just seem to be either stagnant or to regress. And this is highly encouraging as a Bills fan to watch Josh Allen in his second year make strides in accuracy, make strides in being able to call the offense and find guys open. This is highly encouraging. This is territory that we just haven't been in a while. As Bills fans, this is refreshing. And then we're going to end right now with Mike Taylor writing his Wall of Famer, Dawson Knox, a.k.a. the Buffalo Bulldozer. I like that one. I like that one a lot. Wall of Shamer goes to T.J. Yeldon and the drops. I would have preferred to see McKenzie more involved over Yeldon.
I like that guy. Who is that?
Mike Taylor. Mike Taylor, your guy?
Nice.
There were some really great tweets there. Thank you for everyone for tweeting in as you always do. So as far as
what's Knox's nickname going to be?
Buffalo Bulldozer.
You think obvious.
Buffalo Fort Knox is a good one. What else did you see?
Juggernox.
Juggernox is a good one.
Kind of a mouthful. John.
Jeez.
All good. He needs something after that one play.
Yeah, man. I like the Juggernox. I know it's a mouthful, but wouldn't that be cool if Dawson Knox makes a catch and every time he makes a catch, they play like I'm the Juggernaut, you know, in the new era field, like that would be sick. I remember they used to do that for Mario Williams. They used to play every time Mario Williams had a sack, they used to play the Super Mario theme song, like doo doo, and they usually had a graphic actually of him like, you know, doo 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 doo. It was awesome. I would be cool with them doing that. I like Juggernox. I also like Hard Knox. Buffalo Bulldozer, Fort Knox, Juggernox, Hard Knox. All good. We'll come up with
maybe
that.
A Twitter poll.
Twitter poll. Ooh. Ooh. Good call. All right, I'll do one after that. And then we'll just take the winner and make the t-shirt off. as far as injuries go to Bills players, John Feliciano left the game with a neck injury. That was a huge injury. John Feliciano, regarded by a lot of people that, you know, break down the Bills film, he is one of their best offensive linemen. One of the great surprises on that offensive line of their free agency. And it hurt them. They moved Tynesecki out to the right tackle and moved Cody Ford into right guard, which a lot of people, including myself, think maybe Cody Ford should just kind of stay in the right guard role instead of them trying to fit him at right tackle when he just clearly seems to lose to defensive ends that just, you know, have a good, have a lot of speed. So that was a major injury to Bills players for today's game. Luckily, nothing too incredible. We're hoping next week that Feliciano, obviously we need him to come back, and Devin Singletary coming back would be huge for the Bills. I don't know. Final thoughts for today's game, guys. I know that the Bills are – what's huge about all of this is the Bills are 3-0 coming back to New Era Field, and they're going to face the undefeated New England Patriots. I mean, this is a great test for this team. You know, they're 3-0. They've won some ugly games, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the stats sheet, they're still 3-0. So this game is going to be, you know, fresh slate every week. Like they always say, all the Bills players say, they just need to go 1-0 every week. And it's going to be a huge test for the Bills to face a Patriots team. And man, I don't think any of us necessarily expected a win, but man, wouldn't that be an amazing Sunday recap we would have together to talk about the Bills beating Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to talk about the Bills beating the Pats next week.
Yeah, John, you and I had that as a win at the beginning of the season. Mike?
I had that as a loss, Nate.
Yeah, 2-1, though, so 11-5.
Dude, I'd love to see him pull it out, but I do think there's still something to be seen, improvement to be seen, steps to be taken before they reach that elite status of NFL team.
Dude, the Patriots are not completely unbeatable. They played the last two games against the Dolphins and the Jets. You know, I mean, you could say the same thing about the Bills with the Jets and the Giants and possibly even the Bengals, but it's not a completely out of the realm that the Bills could win this one. They just need to limit their mistakes, and they just need to, you know, I think the Bills have a good chance at this one. I think their defense has a good chance of stopping Tom Brady. Now, I know Bill Belichick, as good as Bill Belichick is, he might be able to scheme around Josh Allen, but, you know, we'll see. I think the Patriots are the most vulnerable in the season at the beginning of the season. That's when you want to play them. And, you know, because usually by now, they're like 2-2 and everyone's saying, oh, you know, the Patriots, are they done? Or is the dynasty over? You know, and then they end up proving everyone wrong. Now they're due for a loss. One of their two losses that they normally get in September. So this is a good sign for us as Bills fans. So I also wanted to talk about, let you guys know, if you guys aren't subscribers and paying attention, we just released our interview with Bills legend and Hall of Famer Bruce Smith this past weekend. So we talked with Bruce. We were over at the DraftKings Sportsbook in the Del Lago Casino and Resort. And we had the privilege, I would say, of talking to Bruce and interviewing him and asking him a few questions about, you know, his time playing in the NFL in the 90s, that locker room when he got there in the 80s, what was that like? Was it, you know, how did it get there? Is culture important? Is there any similarities between that team and, you know, this team that Sean McDermott is doing? And it's just really cool. And we gave some behind the scenes discussion about that interview because, you know, there were some things that we noticed with Bruce, which was really cool, and things that you kind of hope for as a Bills fan, but he proved it to us that afternoon. So if you guys haven't listened to that, please do. I don't know. It's just cool. I love hearing about, you know, former Bills players, and you guys will enjoy this one, I promise. So the next week's game is against the 3-0 New England Patriots, as I mentioned earlier, in New Era Field in Orchard Park. And we appreciate all of you guys listening. So if you guys could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we definitely appreciate that. If you guys have anything that you want to say to us or anything that we could bring to the table any differently, we always appreciate any feedback. Constructively, though, not so much like the Twitter people that are just like, this is the worst take ever. But, I mean, if it is the worst take ever, let us know. So please subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network in general. We have a lot of really cool shows on it. So if, you know, if there are other shows that aren't your flavor of the month, then you can follow another show. Like there's just so many great different people talking and different discussions being had, like shows like Believe, Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Blitz Bills, the Nick and Nolan Show, and our newest edition, the Mafia Mavens, which are done by Danielle and Robin Mundy, which is a great talk. There's a great female perspective there, which we were lacking on the podcast network until they came along. So it's good to get that, and they have a lot of good thoughts. So we've got you covered all week. Plenty of discussion to have on this game, and obviously the preview leading up to the Patriots game. So signing off. So for John,
nobody circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
For Mike,
is this the greatest football team of all time? I don't know, maybe, but right now we're on pace with the 72 Dolphins.
Great. And for me, Nate, go Bills. We're this much closer to that 23-0, and please enjoy this 2019 Bills anthem by recording artist Dom Brown, and go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, it's the mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Trey Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. What they gonna do when Matt Milano coming with the blitz off the edge? Don't you throw it in the air, cause Trey White and Micah Hyde will intercept. Star Lotta, Louis double team, now the team getting easy sacks. Jerry Hughes with the double moves, coming straight for the quarterback. Take him down, take him down. McDermott climbing on the sidelines, and the crowd going crazy. Mafia, it's all time. Circling the wagons with the mafia, yeah. Circling the wagons. Nate Auburn, where you at? Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. 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 It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Jordan Poyer, Trey Day, Rizzo, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. Mitch Moore snapped at Josh Allen, looking down the field. See no one open, so he scrambled right. He sees somebody open, but he off balance, so he gotta be focused. Dawkins with the block, Allen with the shock. 70 yards, will it be caught? Zay Jones or Cole Beasley? Down the field, past the whole roster. That's Robert Foster, make it so easy. Touchdown, new era field, rocking every Sunday. Got a hangover on every Monday. House money kicking, you know we winning. Josh Allen passing, who gon' pass us? With Devin and Frank, you know we great. If you're not a Bills fan, we don't relate. Nah. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Nate Arbel, Don Brown on the podcast, who's stopping us? Circling the wagons with the mafia, who's stopping us? No one.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.